And on RN, this is Books and Arts Daily with Michael Cathcart, and we're just coming up to day 8 of the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. When they wake up in Glasgow, it will be day 8, an exciting time to be in that city. In the last few decades, Glasgow's produced some headline pop groups, Belle and Sebastian, Teenage Fan Club, Travis, Deacon Blue, to name a few. It's also generated a brand new wave of crime writers, including William McIlvaney and Denise Minor. Now, most of us know that the Scots love language. So what is it that defines the Glaswegian voice of today? Fiona Kroll takes us to meet crime writer Denise Minor. But first, here's Davy Scott, who's senior lecturer in songwriting at the University of West Scotland.
I belong to Glasgow, dear old Glasgow town. But there's something the matter with Glasgow, for it's going round and round. I'm only a common old working lad, as anyone can see. But when I get a couple of drinks on a Saturday, Glasgow belongs to me.
Glaswegians have always shared their stories in song. I mean, if you think about somebody like Billy Connolly, for example, obviously a comedian, and the story of Billy's work is that he was originally a musician, of course, and he played in the Humble Mums, and he wrote really nice songs, and his song, If They Knows That, is a lovely example of pithy Glasgow humour. So, you know, it only rains when clouds bang together, but everybody knows that. And it's rockets and it's missiles that are causing this bad weather. But everybody knows that. Now, that, to anybody who lives in Glasgow or its environs, is the authentic voice of the Scottish person that meets the other Scottish person on the street. But does everybody know the way that things are going to go tomorrow? What will they do when they wake up and find out that there's no time left to borrow? So it goes from the pithy humour of this broad discussion of the reasons that the rain might be falling down, and for everything from, you know, rockets, missiles, etc., to this quite philosophical reason, kind of humanist take on life.
It takes a big heart, a girl from the North Country, you can't tell.
And as Dublin was to James Joyce, so Glasgow is to many contemporary pop groups. Can you take us further, Davey, into the lyrics of particular songs? One, of course, that comes to mind is Rain Town by Deacon Blue. And that features the Finiston Crane on the River Clyde, which reflects such a powerful history of Glasgow. You know, the crane is a big metaphor for post-industrial Glasgow, that of the shipyards, the merchants that built the city, and then the union struggles of the closure of the shipyards and unemployment. You just can't ignore that crane as part of Glasgow's skyline, which comes through in that song.
But it is Glasgow in the sense of its colour and its atmosphere. And I think that's one of the things that many of the best songs and the best recordings of Glasgow musicians conjure up, that unique atmosphere, that thing that I think of as kind of grit and glitter in equal measure. In the sound of Rain Town, for example, you've got that that kind of cinematic, glittery, twinkling opening to the thing, and then you get, boom, it's a rain, dirt town, job hurts, and it don't pay, you know? That sense of the mixture of that gorgeous sonic and then the reality of the town is a rain dirt town.
I had my choice. I took my choice. That was to stand and fight the little boys. But now I find myself running for my life. I see no swords and no knives. And I changed my mind.
Another band that I think recently have portrayed Glasgow in a much more specific way is the band Glas Vegas. And their first self-titled album is almost like a roll call of specifically Glaswegian characters. What you get there is a band who are also making music that sounds very American. It's got that kind of Phil Spector sweep about it. But actually what they're talking about is people's lives in Dalmarnock. And they're doing it in a very edgy, in some senses, quite dangerous kind of way. And the song Stabbed, for example, which is a very short spoken piece that's based on the Shangri-La's past, present and future, the narrator says, "I'm going to get stabbed. The Baltic Fleeto are up my arse." No cavalry can save me. I'm going to get stabbed. You know, people get stabbed all over the world, but this guy is doing it in a Glasgow accent. The rest of the songs on the album are about Dalmarnock. They're about the characters that he's grown up with. They're about the way that people live their lives. I'm Geraldine, I'm your social worker. And the overall effect of it is this portrait of a certain part of Glasgow society at a certain point in time. And where it does hit a tradition is in the sense that it's telling the story in the same way that folk songs tell stories, in the same way that, that traditional music in the past was perhaps the way that people told their histories. This is a contemporary artist who is doing that in a recognisably sort of Glaswegian voice. Even talks about Glasgow gangs, the Baltic Fleeto, you know? It's very, very arresting because of that.
Why does it always rain on me? Is it because I lied when I was 17?
When James Ellroy coined that phrase tartan noir about that generation of Scottish crime writers, I think what he was getting at or hinting at was a tradition of miserabilism or darkness in Scottish culture in general, going right back to Confessions of a Justified Sinner, you know, and this kind of sense that there was this dark underbelly of Scottish culture that was well represented in its writers. I come from the generation that was present when Glasgow was becoming very, very confident about itself in the 80s and the 90s, and there was all this Glasgow's miles better, and this kind of sense that Glasgow was being celebrated, this confident, outwardly mobile, outwardly looking, facing kind of, you know, Glasgow is no longer the place that you're going to, in the words of James Allen, get stabbed, but it's the place where you might buy a, you know, a nice apartment in the West End and drink Bordeaux every second night of the week. But actually, there's always been those two Glasgows, and I think the noir side of it is very strongly there. The language is really, really confrontational and really frankly sexual and frankly violent. But at the same time, it's funny.
The grit and glitter of Glasgow in pop music there with Davy Scott. And now to one of those Glasgow tartan noir authors, Denise Minor. Her most recent novel, The Red Road, is a fierce story of the travails of Rose Wilson, a girl stuck in the care system and being prostituted to older men by her boyfriend. It opens in 1997 with a shocking double murder in a seedy section of Glasgow near the Red Road flats that recently housed asylum seekers, and also the organisers of the Commonwealth Games had actually intended to demolish them as the big grand finale of the opening ceremony. But that plan was ditched at the 11th hour. Denise, take us into your world of the Red Road.
Well, the Red Road flats really represent the death of the 60s dream and the death of municipal ambition for me, because those flats were built on the basis that social housing would be provided by the government and that that was one of the obligations of the government. So they're knocking them down and they're building a fraction of the same amount of social housing. And although the flats were badly built and they were badly designed, they were a sight better than the flats that people moved from. People didn't have bathrooms when I was growing up. You had to use the toilet on the lobby, and the swimming pool was called the baths because that's where people went to get a bath. So at the moment they've stripped them and they're standing like a wicker man on a promontory, and you can see them from almost everywhere in the city, and they're about to be blown up. But they really represent the end of that kind of government in Scotland, and it's a real shame, and I think people are quite sad about it and not really sure why they're so sad.
So how about you take us down some of those dark back alleys of Glasgow from your recent book, The Red Road?
The sight was so spectacular it would be hard enough to focus on the murder. The Red Road flats were 27 stories tall, 500 yards wide, and being stripped for demolition. All the walls, the casing, and especially the windows were being removed before the explosives were set to avoid a glass storm. They couldn't get into the scene of the murder before this morning. Without health and safety paperwork, she couldn't even pass through the protective fencing. Morrow didn't like heights very much. Early in her career, Morrow had policed the crowd when the high flats in the Gorbals were demolished. The officers had to stand with their back to the show watching the crowd for 3 or so hours. People brought food, drinks, things to sit on, and the fevered atmosphere was unsettling. Morrow watched the crowd swell and grow boisterous, scanning for drunks and trouble and pickpockets. Over the afternoon she listened as people tried to explain away their excitement. It's a bit of history, they said. It's the history of the city. But that didn't satisfy. It didn't explain the buzz of anticipation running through the crowd. So they began to falsify complaints against the High Flats. We had damp. My auntie died there. I saw a man go out a window. But they were excuses, because they knew there was something venal about their lip-licking excitement. It was a modern public hanging. They were there to see something bigger than them die, to participate in an irreversible act of destruction.
And Denise, if you didn't live in Glasgow, do you think you could still write your crime books?
I mean, I have written books when I haven't been living in Glasgow. But to be honest with you, I think Glasgow is a really, although it's very particular and there is that particular culture, every city is universal. If you write a book set in London, no one asks you why you've set it in London. What on earth are you interested in London? So for me, Glasgow is a universal city because it concentrates. It's like Ribena with no water in it, because everyone is cheek by jowl. People are not embarrassed about being working class here. They're very proud. In fact, middle class people put on an accent to pretend to be working class. And there is a strong sense of comradeliness. When I came here in 1986, it was like the war had just finished. Everybody talks to everybody. You know, I mean, if you've got a big car, you can sit in your big car and not talk to anybody. But that's very unusual. Nearly everybody uses public transport, so we're all cheek by jowl. And, you know, it is quite kind, and there is a sort of empathetic understanding between Glaswegians.
And I remember when I used to live there, my husband used to hang out for me to get home. I'd taken the bus to work, the BBC. What did you hear today? And I'd tell him the conversation that I'd heard. Do you do stuff like that for your stories?
I mean, for a writer, the best thing that's ever happened is not just sitting on a Glasgow bus, but mobile phones, because people don't censor themselves on a mobile phone. People shout things into the phone, like, he's tried to hang himself again, you know, I'm going to kill you, your mother's having an affair. I mean, it's fabulous. And there's actually a bus called the Pensioner's Chariot, which is you get a free ticket and you can go anywhere for nothing if you're a pensioner. And they all get on the bus at the same time in the morning. And if you get on the Pensioner's Chariot, it's like a coach trip. Everybody talks to everybody else. And if a drunk man gets on, everybody shouts at them until they get off the bus. So, you know, you can overhear bits of dialogue and the way people speak. You can have people telling each other things and it doesn't seem bizarre. In London, people talk about how they got to where they are, which bus they took and which train they took, and then they kind of run out of chat. But in Glasgow, that would be social death to do that. It's a real social triumph to have good chat here or turn a phrase beautifully. If you say something well, everyone will laugh and everyone will applaud and admire you. If you use a good turn of phrase or a very old word, people love language here, and that's what I really love about it.
This is a song. It's the shortest song in the world. Last train to Glasgow Central. Last train to Glasgow Central. You better catch this one, and you better have a ticket, because here's the man. Beady, beady, bum, bum. To Glasgow Central. We had a great time. You couldn't whack it. Spent all my money and pawned my jacket. And on the train going home, I was hiding in the lobby when the ticket man came. Beady, beady, bear bum.
Isn't that a great accent? I love the way they speak. And what a wonderful idea. If you're planning to write a novel, find yourself a pensioner's chariot and you'll have all the dialogue you could possibly use. On RN, Fiona Kroll speaking with musician Davey Scott on Skype and crime author Denise Minor from Glasgow. And Denise Minor's most recent novel is The Red Road. It's published by Little Brown. On RN, this is Books and Arts Daily.